Herbal Truth Radio Show Epic Radio. I'm your host, Martha Trowbridge. Today's show is Academy Award Documentary Warning, Hitler Lives. In a brilliant, prescient analysis of the stubborn resilience of Nazis to fight on, despite the ascent to World War II, this 1945 Academy Award-winning short documentary explains how it is that what was and is the Nazi underground has reared its evil head to seize global control in the 21st century. Great news, after decades of non-vigilance, America is back on patrol. Cloaked in all sorts of disguises, the Nazi underground has infiltrated every political party and every important organization on this planet. They've sabotaged and commandeered. They've bought and silenced. They've assassinated. In the spirit of their demon god, Adolf Hitler, with the power of all hell's demons, they've deceived. 7 decades later, Hitler indeed lives. As the world battles Hitler's master plan for one world under the Nazi Reich, with Adolf Hitler's grandson, Bari Hitler Shabazz, aka Barack Obama's 4th Reich headquarters at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, Washington, D.C. Their sneaks, their stealth, our fight is tougher than ever, but woe betide them, by their deeds, we know them. And this time, America will get the job done. So we have tonight the audio of the 1946 award-winning Warner Brothers short documentary from 1945, Hitler Lives. It was written by Saul Elkins and narrated by Knox Manning. As the intro music plays, the Liberty Bell swings and rings with these appearing on screen. War with Germany ends in victory. Victory leads to peace. Sometimes, sometimes not. So here we have from Warner Brothers, 1945, the Hitler Lives. And we'll be back again for a moment after the documentary audio. Thank you so much for joining Terrible Truth Radio Show. I'm Martha Trowbridge. See you in a few moments.
Future peace. Just as American soldiers had to get the last generation, so other American soldiers, our sons, might have to do it again in the next generation. Germany today appears to be beaten. Hitler, out. Swastikas, gone. Propaganda, off the air. Concentration camps, empty. There are ruins, there are flowers, there's some mighty pretty scenery. Don't let it fool us. It's still enemy country. We must still be suspicious of everyone. We must take no chances. We're up against something more than tourist scenery. We're up against German history. It isn't good. This book was written chapter by chapter. Not by one man, nor one Führer. It was written by the chapter one, the Führer, Bismarck. The title, Blood and Iron. The armies, German. Under the Prussian, Bismarck, the German Empire was built. The German states combined. serving notice to all that their religion was iron and that their God was Bismarck's German Empire built itself by war. At the expense of Denmark, Austria, and France, it became in 1871 the mightiest power in all Europe. Enough conquest for a while. Time out to digest it. Europe relaxes. The Danes, nice country, Germany. Tender people, the Germans. Very sweet music indeed. Chapter 2. A new Führer, Kaiser Wilhelm. New title. Deutschland, Germany overall. And the same tender German people slapped us with their World War I against Serbia, Russia, France, Belgium, Britain, and the United States of America. It took all of us to do it. But we finally knocked that Führer out, defeated the German armies. Second chapter ended. We marched straight into Germany and said, these people are okay. It was just the Kaiser we had to get rid of. You know, this is really some country. When it comes to culture, they lead the whole world. We bit, we poured in our sympathy, we pulled out our armies, and they flung three in our faces. Führer number three. Slogan number three. Today, Germany is ours. Tomorrow, the whole world. And the tender, sorry German people carried the torch of their culture to Austria, Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, England, Norway, Holland, Denmark, Belgium, Luxembourg, Russia, Yugoslavia, Greece, and the United States of America. We almost lost this one. It took everything we had. Measure the cost. That much money. Measure the cost in lives. You can only guess at that figure. It took burning, scalding, drenching. It took legs, fingers, arms, and it took them by the millions. It cost hours, days, and years. We'll never forget. It ruined the health and wealth of youth, their past and their future. It took every ounce of our courage and guts. Now what happens? Oh, this is where we came in. Yeah, this is where we came in. And chapter 4 will be, it can happen again. Could be the next war. That's why we occupy Germany, to make that war impossible. No easy job. We must keep our wits about us. The German lust for conquest is not dead. It's merely gone undercover. Somewhere in this Germany are the guards, the Schutztruppe, the Gestapo gangsters out of uniform. Somewhere in this Germany are stormtroopers by the thousands, out of sight, out of the mob. Somewhere in this Germany, there are 2 million ex-Nazi officials out of power, but still in there thinking about next time. Remember that only yesterday, every business, every profession was part of Hitler's system. The doctors, technicians, clockmakers, postmen, farmers, housekeepers, toy makers, cooks, dock workers. Practically every German was part of the Nazi network. We must guard particularly against this group. These are the most dangerous. German youth, children when the Nazi party came into power. They know no other system on the planet. They're soaked in it. Trained to win by cheating. Trained to pick on the weak. They've heard no free speeches, read no free press. They were brought up on straight propaganda, production of the worst educational crime in the history of the world. Practically everything they've been trained to hate and destroy. They believe they were born to be masters and that we are inferiors designed to be their slaves. They may deny it now, but they believe it and will try to prove it again. And that's what we must prevent. However free of an authority they may be, sorry, however sick of it, they cannot come back into the civilized world just by sticking out their hand and saying, we're sorry. Not sorry they caused the war, but only sorry they lost it. That's the hand that hailed Adolf Hitler. That's the hand that held the whip over the Polish, you French, and Norwegian slaves. That is the hand that took the food. That is the hand that starved them. That is the hand that murdered, massacred Greeks, Czechs, Russians. That is the hand that killed and crippled American soldiers, sailors. That's the hand of a nation dedicated to a career of hate and the ruthless use of force. Sired by sneering, strutting men and bristling lords of war, the plan of the new order, yet older than slavery in ancient Egypt, the plan of perverted propaganda, of monstrous military might, mighty with the blood drained from children of the conquered countries to replenish the life of the wounded heroes of the German Wehrmacht. No place in their plan for pity or mercy, but murder had a place in the snow at Malmedy, in a field of horror where 115 Americans were and where the scorched earth turned red with Russian blood, a mother's agony fitted the scheme of triumph over helpless hostages. These were the hobnail pleasures, the unspeakable shame of German superiority over adolescent girls, manhandled and from sin to sacrilege, sparing neither the churches nor the ministers dedicated to the service of God. Of 2,300 priests in only one of the concentration camps, a full 1,000 were arbitrarily put to death. This was a Nazi nightmare of misery. Their malignance. An entire generation of children conditioned to the sight of dead parents, tortured brothers, violated sisters. Everywhere the ghastly, gruesome gauntlet of plague and the tragic, haunted faces of the ghetto that recall the horrors of the Middle Ages and the medieval tortures of the Inquisition. And while the vanquished wept, remembering home and holy graces, those who worship force and all the Nazi doctrines cried Heil, acclaiming German ambitions to dominate the world, and strewed the path with flowers to fragrance boots bestenched by blood. War is the most sacred of human activities, exulting in a creed that proclaimed the deliberate extermination and monstrous mass murder of all who stood in the way of German plans for supremacy. From the chimneys of Majdanek belched the stink of 1,920 bodies burnt every 24 hours. Amassed 1,380,000 victims in this one camp alone. And with typical German efficiency, the ashes of the burnt bodies were mixed with manure to enrich the soil and raise a crop of cabbages grown with human fertilizer once with someone's woman child. The stark testimony of their fate in the bulging warehouses, where 820,000 pairs of shoes were counted, where all the pitiful belongings of their victims became the useful property of the Nazi Reich. Even the pathetic tokens of childhood methodically sought shipment to Germany. From Poland, Russia, France, Greece, Holland, Denmark, from every nation where men lived in hope of freedom, now nothing remains but a mute paper passport, a mockery of a man's ambitions, the folly of a woman's, the tragic finish of a child's fate. They must not be betrayed by those who hope to secure peace by forgetting war. The voices of millions of dead cry out, this time we must not have died in vain. This time Germany must not rise again. Millions of Germans, some of these guys must be okay. Perhaps, but which ones? It isn't the few. The problem is the many. Someday, the German people might be cured of their disease, the super race disease, the world conquest disease. But they must prove that they've been cured before they ever again are allowed to take their place among the respectable nations. This is what must be remembered by misty-eyed sentimentalists, by soft citizens who speak of a soft peace. We are determined that German plans for world conquest shall stop here and now. We are determined that they shall end small industries for warlike purposes, that our children shall never face this German terror, that the vicious German cycle of war, phony peace, war, phony peace, war, phony peace, shall once and for all time come to an end. For the disappearance of Hitler and all his henchmen is not enough. Though Berchtesgaden is but an empty shell that marks the heights to which a rabble-rouser could rise from obscure, ghosts of Berchtesgaden still walk. Right here in America, the evil spirits of these ghosts still haunt us, wearing many guises as they continue with Hitler's aims and purposes, spreading the violent propaganda of race, hatred, and violence. And the seeds spread by these disordered minds, unfortunately, are taking root in many fanatical brains. Like Hitler's gang, they thrive on persecution, hatred, and violence. They hope for reconversion to be handled badly. They hope for unemployment. They hope that America's in the crucial post-war problems. They hope for a disillusioned America so that they may set up their own messiah, just as Hitler was set up out of internal conflict and anxiety to breed race hatred and violence. These are verily the ghosts of Berchtesgaden, working secretly and openly all the way from the floors of Congress through every walk of our nation's life, even desecrating the holy cloth, posing as men of God while they seek to destroy the hopes of humanity. In this crucial time, we, the people of America, hold our future and our children's future in our own hands. And no small men must be permitted to destroy our sound American thinking, our democratic heritage of national unity. They tried it here in America, took American children and tried to instill the same evil spiritism here. With guns, they flaunted their so-called superior system in our very faces, as they practiced for the day when they would rule America. Tried to break down the democratic ideals of the youth of our nation, where children of all races can meet on common ground, inspired by a heritage of clean living, the prince of fair play and honor. The youth of our nation must not be suppressed. A child in this country must have the right to be a child while undertaking the other job of growing up to be an adult. The youth of our nation must not be regimented and pressed into the mold of pack-carrying, goose-stepping soldiers. And to beat them, it took those who loved freedom. On the field of battle against fascism in Italy, Germany, and Japan, it was men of all faiths who fought and died together that we might live. They fought side by side without questioning the color of their skins or the religions of their fathers. And it's enough representatives of the united world of tomorrow be dedicated to the task of making good the sacrifices of free men who hope to build a better world. The people themselves must stand by these leaders. We must so earnestly desire peace that we will not demand it, but war simply. Then only, out of the solemn hours of deliberation, will be created a sound and practical international unity dedicated to the ideals of freedom, greatness, and security for all. A heritage that shall be guaranteed for the sons and daughters of the men lived, who so truly earned the fruits their children are entitled to reap in the united world of tomorrow. The world of lasting freedom between all nations.
Well, excuse me. Little did writer Mr. Elkins or Warner Brothers know that 64 years later, come 2009, Germany's chapter Britain, when the United States White House became occupied by the Nazi prince, Barry Hitler Shabazz, Adolf's grandson, commonly known as Barack Hussein Obama II. Lots of data in that short documentary. I want you to listen to this show again, and also to go over to YouTube for this the video that accompanies this documentary, Hitler Lives, 1945. So what to do? American patriots, what to do? Well, I'm going to close tonight's show a rally song for you from 1941. Another wonderful Glenn Miller and his orchestra song. And it's performed by Barry Woods, recorded in the immediate aftermath of the 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. It's entitled, We Did It Before, and We Can Do It Again. We Will Do It Again. And so anyway, here we go. I'll close out the show with this song for Terrible Truth Radio Show. Till next time, I'm Martha Trober. So very much for joining God bless you and God bless America.
December 7th, 1941, our land of freedom was defined. December 8th, 1941, Uncle Sam replied, we did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again. We've got a heck of a job to do, but you can bet that we'll see it through. We did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again. We're one for all and we're all for one. They'll get a licking before we're done. Millions of voices are ringing, singing as we march along. We did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again. We'll knock them over and then we'll get the guy in back of them. We did it before, we'll do it again. We did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again.
We'll take them if our hip or knees and chase them back to their cherry trees.
We did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again.
When we get going and start to click, we'll put the axe in the axis quick.
Millions of voices are ringing, sing as we march along. We did it before and we can do it again, and we will do it again.
Country never has lost a war from days of William Penn.
We did it before, we'll do it again. Year or two or five or ten, we did it before
again and again and again and again.